morning, I'm going to be talking to you about a very tough topic. In the previous weeks, we've been going through a series on Sermon on the Mount, and we're looking to open up our hearts to the ways and the teaching of Jesus and those kingdom ways that Brad was just talking about, where Jesus is challenging people to do things as he did from a kingdom perspective and not just from our worldly or earthly perspective. And we've been doing that by reading through a passage and then getting together and chatting, asking questions, trying to answer each other's questions, looking at Bible projects, the reels. We've been doing that on Sunday mornings, and we've also been doing it in Connect Group and in midweek teaching. And so I don't think that within half an hour, the next half an hour, that you can achieve everything that God wants for you. I don't think that I can say everything that is intended. And so we just pray that those words that you hear today fall in your heart as little seeds that God waters through the week, that you are growing each and every day and not just for 20 minutes on a Sunday. So I'm teaching today, or talking to you, spit it out, on judgment and discernment. And judgment's one of those really ugly words. The Message Bible puts it like this. It says, don't jump on people. Jump on people's failures and criticise their faults or pick on people. And that's what we often think about judgment. But judgment is so much more than that, and we tend to judge all day, every day in things we do. And sometimes we need to judge. I needed to judge how close I was to the tree to park my car. Very important judgment there. Last week we went down to the art gallery, some people here together with Overflow, and we were looking at looking at the same painting. And it just God reminded me about the word judgment, because what everybody saw in that painting was so different, and it was probably very different to what the artist actually meant. I saw something just so totally out there. I said, had to say, wow, God, why am I seeing that? And he reminded me of something I'm battling with, something called trust that I'm battling with, and that was reflected in what I saw in that painting. And I'd love to show you that painting and see what you see as well. So we might just jump straight into it. And Michelle, the other Michelle, or one of the other Michelles, is going to read today's passage for us. Yeah, can you read it from there?
Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use it, will be measured to measure you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log, plank or beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces.
At first I thought, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Don't judge. If you do judge, get rid of the logs, and then don't share anything of treasure with anyone you call a pig. Really easy. Really easy sermon, eh? Sorry. Not so easy. It actually raised so many questions for me, and so many things just jumped out at me that I'd never read before, and the Bible's like that. What I want for you to do, I don't want to tell you mine, I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what stood out for you, or what question did it raise for you. I'll give you about 2 minutes to do that, and after that I'll show you the questions that it raised for me. So just turn to the person next to you, say, what was the one thing that stood out for you, or what is a question that that passage has raised? These were some of my questions. Firstly, it's out of my brother's eye. So who's my brother? Is it okay to judge sometimes? Someone brought that up. What are our logs? Someone else also questioned. So if these people are pigs and dogs, should I be sharing the gospel with them or not? What is that link between the pig and the dogs? I wanted to call this sermon Pigs and Pearls, Dogs and Logs. And you know what? What has all this got to do with the kingdom teaching on opening my heart? So let's quickly jump into that. Before I do that, the next bit, I just wanted to say, I wouldn't have really thought that I was a very judgmental person. You may disagree, but you're different. Yes, they could be. We're going to look at the pigs, absolutely. When I, as a teacher, I see these kids' bad behaviour, because it's usually behaviour that we judge. And I think, wow, has that kid not had breakfast? Are they going through something at home? Or is he a bully because he's been bullied? Or, you know, has she finished all her work so she's just bored and mucking up? So I see kids from that different perspective. But I was very questioned on that the other day. I got a little tap on the shoulder and asked to move out of that judgment seat that does not belong to me. So Ken and I were on holidays and staying at the showground at Mudgee, and there was a lady there and she was living in her car. And we thought that we would want to help her. We would make her coffee because I can make nice coffee, or Ken wanted to go to the bakery and buy her something for breakfast. But she wouldn't meet our eye. And then this helicopter came over because the showground's right next to the hospital and was landing at the hospital. Everybody in the street, everybody in the showground came out of their houses, came out of their caravans, and they're all looking up, watching this helicopter, which we know is going to the hospital. And I said, oh, to this lady came out, and I said, oh, I hope they're all right. I said, hi, my name's Donna. And she looked at me and she said, you're a Christian. And I went, oh, I'm being judged. And I thought, does she like Christians or not? So, you know, it was a hard spot. And she said this to me. She said, can you imagine that that is Jesus coming down on a cloud and everybody is running out of their house and everybody is coming out of their caravans and they're all looking up to the sky and they're all watching him descend down to earth again from his heavenly kingdom? And she said, and I said, I wonder if he'll say he knows me. And I just looked at that lady and I thought, you've got it all. You don't need nothing from me. It was just a great reminder that I had thought that, you know, homeless people needed my help. Wrong judgment. There's only one judge, as Mark said. So quickly looking at judgment, what it is from this line of Greek words that are up there, and it goes from krino to krima to krisis. Krisis is where we get our word crisis from, and crisis means to evaluate an intense situation, make a decision, and then based on that decision to come to a conclusion and then to act on it. And judgment in the dictionary is the ability to form valuable opinions and good decisions. We've been talking about value last week with Laura. In the Bible, Jesus gives us a way in Matthew 18 to deal with when we do start judging other people and we think that they're wrong. Because judgment's not always about good and bad, like Adam and Eve and the tree of knowledge, but it's sometimes about better and best. So on the same weekend that my son was moving house, my daughter was having a baby. And so I'm only one person. I had to make a decision on which child I was going to help. Both of those decisions would have been good, but one was actually better than the other. And that's the decision that I had to make. But in that Bible passage, Matthew 18, where Jesus says, if we have been offended by someone, then there are four steps. And the first one is go to that person and tell them, hey, when you talk to me like that, it hurts my feelings. You know, I thought we were friends. Let's talk nicely. Secondly, if that doesn't work, to go to that person with someone else and get their input on it as well. Thirdly, if that still doesn't work, if you're still carrying around offence, then to actually go to the church, it says. So that could be the leaders, it could be the elders, it could be pastor, and get some advice that way. And if we're brothers, we are related or we are all believers and we believe and have the same values and we believe the same thing. So we go to somebody else with that same belief system. And then fourthly, it says, if that doesn't work out, well, you know, we just treat them as pagans or tax collectors. Just they're there, move on. Which brings me to the point of discernment. what is discernment then? So discernment, as Jesus did it, was judging without bias. In the dictionary, it says to recognise and understand something that's not clear, which is what we said, when do we judge? And in the but the Bible meaning is to have a deep understanding, to have spiritual insight and checking with the alignment of God's word. Discernment is the God-given ability to see below the surface. And Jesus often talks in the Bible in parables. So he's not out there condemning us and telling us what to do and showing us when we're wrong. He's talking to his listeners in these parables. And the parables enable us to work things out for myself. And in case you didn't know it, Brad also talks in parables. One day I came to Brad with this great idea. It was fabulous. And I said, Brad, I got this exciting idea. And he so kindly looked at me and he said, that's a really good idea, Donna, but is it a God idea? And I was like, oh, well, you know what? I haven't checked with him, so I'll get back to you. My ideas are not God's. His ways are so much higher than mine, thank goodness. What would it look like for us if we did the same thing as Jesus did? If on this earth and in this world that we judged as Jesus did, what would that look like from a kingdom perspective? What does judgment from a kingdom perspective look like? Kindness and love, yes, absolutely. So our passage talked very briefly about weights and measures because that was an agricultural society that Jesus lived in and they did a lot about weights and measures. But sometimes weights and measures can be faulty. So if I go, no, I go into the doctor and I know they're going to weigh me, I'll just wear my thongs and a dress. But if I happen to go back in winter and I'm wearing boots and a jumper and the doctor says, oh, you put on weight. No, it's just my clothes. It wasn't me. It's a faulty measurement, okay, or a manipulated measurement in that case. And we're often kinder on ourselves than on others. But as Michelle reminded me this morning, sometimes we're really hard on ourselves as well. And we're often hardest on the people that are closest to us. So if I go to someone's house and they say, oh, sorry, my house is messy, I'm thinking, oh, well, I wouldn't notice and I'm not here to look at your house, as Susan says, I'm here to see you. But woe and behold, Ken, if I find a tool in my lounge room. And James 2 tells us, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, because mercy triumphs justice. We mentioned up the back about those logs. And what are those logs? The logs affect the quality of our vision. So if I take off my glasses and I look at you guys, you all look like blobs. And when I put them on, I think, oh, they're beautiful, aren't they? When I go fishing, I wear Polaroids so that I can see the fish. I can't catch them, but at least I can see the fish. And last year, my mother had to have eye surgery. And I want to hope that surgeon that did that eye surgery was using a microscope, not just, you know, looking through his own eyes. Do you remember for those parents when your kids were young and they got something in their eye and they come, Mom, I got something in my eye. And the first thing you tell them is like, blink hard, try and wash it out. Or the second thing was like, oh, go and wash it with some water in the bathroom. And thirdly, do you remember you had to get the tissue, I think I had one here, and try and get it out of their eye. And you would fold that tissue up into that little pointy shape. Does anyone remember that? And you'd have to try and get the little speck out of the kid's eyes if it wouldn't wash out. Trying to take the speck out with the tissue was the last resort. You'd try everything else first. And Jesus is like that. Judgment was not his first response. He was very hesitant. Remember the woman caught in adultery? And he said to her, they haven't judged you, so I'm not going to judge you either. It was the very last response. And what if it was our instinct for all of us here? What if it was our instinct to look at ourselves first instead of trying to point out the faults of other people's or the things that they do that offend us? It's really hard to change other people, but it is possible to change yourself if you desire that. So these are the kind of things that affect our judgment, our values, our expectations, that's a big one for me, our beliefs, Our experience, our past, our traditions, our history, our cultures, our families, our memories, offences, wounds and traumas. All those things affect how we see the world. Let's get on to the pigs and pearls, shall we? Today I've worn my mother's Mikimoto pearls, especially for you. So Jesus is saying, don't judge, but if you do, drop the log. And then he calls people here hypocrites, pigs and dogs. Isn't that judgy? Who here would call someone a hypocrite or a pig or a dog? When you're at school, people my age, we used to call people pigs or dogs as a horrible word. But we've got to get past this. We'll start with the pearls first. So pearls are very precious. They are the treasures on earth, like my mother's Mikimoto pearls that I borrowed today. And Laura talked about those last week about the treasures on earth. But pearls are grown. They're a living organism that a bit of sand or grit gets in them. And if you've ever been to the beach and had sand in your bed, you'll know how uncomfortable that can be. They're also grown under great pressure. So they're drowned and then they're parched. And then they're drowned and then they're parched and drowned and parched. So you can imagine that, that's that pressure. Getting to the pigs, I'll flick back to the pigs. The pigs are not a very nice thing to call someone, is it? We've got to stop thinking about babe and bacon, okay, the good things about pigs. Pigs in the Bible were unclean, spiritually blind, hard-hearted, dirty, smelly. We call people pig-headed when they cannot recognise value or they cannot evaluate and discern. Pigs have really big teeth and pigs do attack. They are arrogant and they refuse to understand. And we can all name someone today who we would call a pig. But they'll be really judgy, so we're not going to do that. The dogs, also something we've got to get over. Dogs, we see them as our pets. We put little outfits on them. We let them sleep in our bed. We let them eat off our plate. And Jesus in Matthew 15 said that even the dogs can eat the crusts of the kids or they can have the crumbs under the table. There's no way my dog eats crusts. She just wants a chunk of that steak. But the dogs in the Bible are savage. They're scavengers. They often had rabies. They were dangerous. And even dogs today declared dangerous. It's often the way that they are treated. The dogs were the lesser people in the Bible. So there's this kind of tension for me. This judgment that we're talking about, that Jesus is saying, yeah, we should have, that doesn't give me an excuse to run away from this person or reject that person or to look down on someone. It's not an excuse. Aren't I called to be the light on the hill? Aren't I asked to spread the gospel to everyone? And isn't it my position to give an account for the joy and the hope that I have in all situations, including the bad ones? It's talking here about the brothers, the behaviour between the brothers and the sisters, as I was reminded this morning, with each other, in relationships with each other, with other believers. So what Jesus is saying is, don't argue endlessly. Don't defend Jesus. In Exodus 13:13, it says, the Lord fights for me. Jesus doesn't need me to defend him. Don't defend your faith. Just say, I believe this. That's it. Up on the screen, it's a couple of quotes here that I really loved. Isaiah 55 reflects this passage we're reading in Matthew, and it says, why spend money, that's the earthly treasures, on what is not bread and labour, put our energy, onto what does not satisfy? Listen, eat what is good and you will delight in the richest fare. And that is God's heart. That's what he wants. He wants to give you the richest fare, the best of everything. But I love this one from 2 Peter. And it says, a dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. What it is we are not responsible for other people's reactions, and the truth is still the truth, even when it's rejected. If I took, like Cheryl said, if you owned pearls and you threw them to the pigs, or I took it out and threw it in the skip bin, they're still Mikimoto pearls. They're still valuable pearls, even if they're rejected. So judgment is kind of a bit between them and us, isn't it? So we've looked at the thems, the pigs and the dogs, and the hypocrites. Let's look at us. I want you just... this was something God showed me. So I'm reading this out and I'm not judging you, but this is how I saw it. Look at the times when you treated God's truth as common or less valuable. When was the truth in front of you and you rejected it? You ignored it. You resisted it. You argued with God about it. You responded poorly. When you treated his word as optional, when you justified what you were doing, when you delayed, when you disposed of it as cheap, when you chose comfort over conviction, or you just kept scrolling. God's motive is love, not law, not condemnation. What he wants is relationship, and he wants it eternally, forever and ever. He wants our faithfulness. He wants, as all good parents want, what is best for us. What he is asking us to do, though, is not to water down the word to make it more palatable, not to control and force someone into believing it, not to pretend, well, I am a Christian and my life is just perfect. Not to twist the words into weapons. Not to run around when he has asked you to stay still and know that he is God. Not to stay silent when you've been called to speak, or vice versa. On the cross, Jesus didn't argue with the unrepentant mockers. He was silent. Sometimes we've just got to forgive and shake the dust off our feet. This is what I want you to do right now. You may feel comfortable enough to share this with the person next to you, but you don't have to. I want you to sit in the next 3 minutes and ponder, what are my logs? What lies or habits or beliefs or wounds taint my vision and my heart and stop me receiving treasure, or that keep me wallowing in the mud? What is the Holy Spirit challenging me to do today? We'll just take a few minutes with those questions that are up there, just quietly asking God these questions. If you would like to share that with the person next to you, there will be a time in a moment where we can pray for each other. And if you have something that you would like prayer for, then at the end we're going to welcome you out the front for prayer. And it may be something so tiny that you think, oh, that's not worth talking to anyone about. That's just a little speck. But there's prayer for that. And it might be something so huge that you think, wow, I couldn't possibly tell anyone that. What would they think about me? How would they judge me? Then there's prayer for that in a confidential environment. And if you're not able to even speak it out, but you know there is something, then those prayer cards that Michelle talked about are over the side, and they can be anonymous. Right now, I'd just like to pray for all of us. Thank you, God, for the resources that you have given us in overflow. For our Sunday meetings, our connect groups and our midweek teaching. Thank you for the visitors like Abby and William and those that are to come. Thank you for the Bible and your word. Thank you for podcasts we can listen to at home. Thank you for music that we can worship at home. Thank you for the brothers and the sisters. Thank you for each other, that we can share with each other. We can sharpen iron with each other. We can pray for each other. Holy Spirit, open my mind. Open my heart. This week, Holy Spirit, show me a log that you want me to chop up for firewood to fuel my love for you. Show me, Lord, how you see others. Amen.